and didn't know any better. So I called the hotel, and again, the phone rang a long time. Another voice answered. I guess I woke him up, too. It was 10 a.m. in Boston. What a sleepy bunch these music people were. I told him who I was and asked if I could spend some time with him when he was in my town in a few weeks. Sure, I guess that would be okay, he said. Is there any chance you could make that exclusive to me and you don't talk to any other reporters? I knew I was pushing my luck with that one. For that, you'll have to pay me, he said. He was clearly waking up. I'm sure I can't do that, so I'll see when you get into town. I ended up spending the entire day with him as he gave high school jazz band workshops and was backstage with him before and after his show that night. He wasn't the warmest person I've ever met, but it was fun to see this legend take the teenagers, and me, seriously. He walked slowly. His short, heavyset body was relaxed as he moved from chair to music stand at the high school. We talked off and on for hours. I made some mistakes while interviewing him, and even angered him at one point. Note to self, don't ever ask a jazz musician about the irony of coming out of a life of poverty and oppression and charging an enormous fee for performing. You would think that even a guy in his 20s would know better than to ask Dizzy Gillespie about something as personal as money. But back then, I was under the illusion that getting the perfect interview was 90% getting the right person to interview and 10% luck or instinct. I figured that once I got him to agree, the rest would take care of itself. What I have learned over the last 40 years as a journalist, working with publications such as the New York Times, the Boston Globe, the San Jose Mercury News, and multiple magazines, and running the Writers' Symposium by the Sea in San Diego, is that there is much more to an interview than just getting the person to talk to you. More than 30 years later, when I was back in that town and took my old editor to lunch, he brought up this event. I still can't believe you got that interview, he said. We have questions. We want answers. I've learned a lot about interviewing since the Dizzy Gillespie event. First and foremost, that interviewing is more common than most of us realize. We ask questions every day because we need to know something, or because we need information so our next decision will be an informed one, or we want to be able to share wisdom, or we want to avoid trouble, or maybe we're just nosy. Mostly, we're trying to gain perspective on something. If we depend solely on our own thoughts and observations and don't take into account the thoughts and observations of others who are not just like us, we run the risk of coming to inaccurate conclusions and possibly taking harmful actions. Other perspectives reveal our own biases and assumptions. And think of what could have been accomplished and avoided in our history had we just asked a few more questions. Asking good questions keeps us from living on our own echo chambers. Think of the questions we have heard or have asked. Questions as simple as, what is the secret to your chocolate chip cookies? What happened at school today? Did you think about the consequences? Would you like to have dinner with me? Will you marry me? Why is the coffee always gone? On the one hand, those are simply questions, but they can lead to other questions and become conversations that will draw out personalities and understandings. They can become a kind of interview. The questions that surround us may be simple and obvious, they may be cosmic and profound, but they all serve a function. Consider the following scenarios from everyday life, in this case, mine. There is a plate of spaghetti on the floor, and the dog is eating it as if he had been waiting his entire life for this moment. His tail is wagging hard enough to spin a turbine. I look at my young son. He is standing, frozen in place, hands outstretched, eyes as big as the plate that is upside down on the floor directly under his hands. I look at my daughter, who is 3 years younger than my son. She is at the kitchen table, silently crying. Not because of the lost spaghetti or the stained carpet, but because she thinks I am going to punish the dog. What happened? I ask. That's an interview question. It's a dumb interview question, more on asking dumb questions later, because it's obvious what happened, but it's